I love how you have a sign that says there's no I in team, but there is meat.
That's our motto here.
We are at Sutter Meats on King Street in Northampton. What's your name?
My name is Terry Ragasa. I'm the owner here, Sutter Meats, with my wife Susan, who's around here somewhere.
Butchering something in the back. We're here with Phil Corman from CISA, the local hero, folks. This table, this butcher block table, is not just cute kitchenware here. This is where all the butchering happens.
It is, yeah. We do all the butchery here. Every week we get the whole animals from our local farms. Today is our pork butchery day. They're doing pigs here from Sage Farm up in Bernardston. We get everything slaughtered at Adams Farm out in Athol. They're the only middleman between us and our farms.
So if we look at the counter over there, you've got all sorts of cuts of meats from all different types of animals and sausages and stuff like that. I used to, when I worked in downtown Northampton, would come in and you'd have a sandwich of the day.
Yeah, because we do the whole animal. We do not just the cuts you see in there, but all the sausages. We render the fats for cooking. We use the bones for broths. All the different offcuts, we figure out different sandwich specials to make out of. Today, our sandwich is a chopped pastrami sandwich. So we take the breast of a cow and make our own pastrami.
I think I'm getting it.
I remember when you started, oh look, here's a pig.
Here comes a pig to the table, a whole half pig.
It's a half a pig. Yeah, so our pigs come in split in half like this. We call these market weight pigs, and they average between 180 pounds to 220 pounds. And we get about, 3 to 4 a week here. So Tyler Sage, our farmer, he went from growing pigs for friends and family, maybe about 6 years ago, to now doing almost 200 a year for us.
You're a butcher yourself, right? You teach classes and things like that.
The first few classes that you were teaching filled up so fast it was hard to get into them.
Yeah, they're still pretty popular. We do the pork butchery class once a month, but yeah, I do teach the butchery class.
How did you get into butchery?
My wife and I actually we met in New York City working at Christie's Auction House. She was a graphic designer, and I was a photographer and photo retoucher. We used to make all of their advertisements and catalogs. After the downturn of the economy was in 2008, they laid off half the staff, including myself. So I found myself needing to find new work, and I had a lot of friends working in the hospitality and restaurant industry in New York, and I really liked cooking, but those hours were murder.
Yeah.
So my whole focus was more on the sourcing of product and trying to bring people closer together to their food sources. I had a friend who was learning butchery in the Hudson Valley of New York, and they invited me up to visit the butcher shop, and they took me on as an apprentice there. Then we decided to, after opening for other people, we decided to try something on our own. So we looked all over the country for places to open. We saw that this area was close to a lot of fantastic farms, a lot of young farmers, and the people who were here were very interested in buying locally. We were actually able to contact CISA, who had already done a lot of market research to see if a butcher shop would work in this area, and they found that it could be sustainable. So we took a lot of the work off of our plate, which is awesome, and we decided to open here based off of the information we got from them.
Phil from CISA, talking with Terry Ragasa from Sutter Meats here on King Street in Northampton.
So I know, Terry, you've been so busy that you haven't even been able to acknowledge it's 10 years in now. It's a full decade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we opened January of 2014.
Phil, your first experience here was a kind of an interesting one.
Yeah, I was coming into the store and a person ahead of me was like enthralled and felt like she could not believe that she reached this oasis. And that, she had left Brooklyn 5 years ago and was just looking for quality and freshness and local. And Terry and his wife had pulled it off for her. And I think what people don't realize is that even when you're running an amazing small local business for 10 years, there are still so many people who have no idea that you're here. Here you are so close to downtown Northampton, tremendous parking and back, sandwich specials every day, classes, and still people have not come in the door, so we need them to come in the door.
Well, there are plenty of people that have come in when we've been here, which is great.
How many farms did you start with? How many do you have now?
So we started with, we had 3 farms. Now we've worked with dozens, really. We still have 3 primary farms. It's Austin Brothers in Belchertown. That's our beef. Sage Farm in Bernston. They are our pork farm. And then we have the Thayer family with Splendor View Farm up in Cummington. They do our lamb. And then we're also starting to do something interesting with Black Birch Vineyard in Hatfield, where they have sheep that graze their vineyards to kind of clean up around so they don't have to use any pesticides. They can really get in between all the vines to clean out and take all the weeds out. But then when they're done doing their job there, they don't have a home, so we're happy to give them a home here in our store.
I mean, we are watching them butcher. Can I talk to your butchers real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, what's your name?
Jake Sorby.
Where are you from?
South Hadley.
What's your name?
Rebecca Morrison.
Where are you from?
Holyoke.
How did you become a butcher?
So I was in the restaurant industry for over 25 years, and the hours were starting to really get to me, and I wanted to do something, closer to the food source, the farms, and everything like that, and came here.
Did you learn on the job?
Yeah, yep.
But now you got a pro. You had a bone saw out or something, whatever. Was that what that was?
Yeah.
How did you get into butchery?
Same thing. I was in the restaurant industry for a long time.
Is it easier to butcher a pig than a cow, or is there harder animals to butcher than others? Or once you know the basic mechanics of how an animal works, it's kind of basically the same?
Yeah, the size is different. So some things are harder on beef just because it's, more muscle power to rip the, joints apart and stuff like that. Lamb is harder because there's less room for error because everything is just so much smaller. Mm-hmm. Pigs, my favorite, because you can just zoom right through it and everything seems to fall apart perfectly as it's supposed to.
That's why we start with our butchery class. It's with the pig, because you can apply what you learn from the pig to any other quadruped. So we have in our classes, ambitious home cooks. We have people who are really interested in just sustainability. We have homestead farmers. And then we have a lot of hunters as well.
So they're not bringing in their deer to figure it out. They're learning on like a pig, and then they take it home to their deer or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that there was just a meat relay. Like someone just had ribs in their hand, and someone just grabbed the ribs from that hand and kept walking.
They're already in plastic and ready for your purchase.
It's like seamless.
I also love that on your board behind the butcher table here, you've got when Lent is, and also a sausage plant.
Sausage plant.
The work is just incredibly physical, and you're lifting weights, and you have cold meat working with knives. I'm curious what you do to try to ensure that one arm doesn't go itis on you.
There's one dishwasher who only worked out his left side to like compensate for
because he was working his right side at work all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think you should never challenge a butcher to an arm wrestling match. I don't care gender at all or height or weight. You'll always lose.
We do a weekly wine tasting on our show, and we have teetotalers that hate that we taste wine on the radio. And I'm sure that there are vegans and vegetarians listening to this right now that can't believe we've been talking so extensively about cutting up a pig.
We're coming up here to prove that the tofu curtain is not just tofu.
And as you mentioned, Northampton and the greater Northampton area has this reputation for being vegan and vegetarian. Have you worked with people here who have kind of changed their mind about meat and where a sustainable way of doing meat that may have been influential in that?
We do. We have, a lot of our customers are people who have been vegans or vegetarians and are trying to make their way back to eating meat for one reason or another. We're actually probably closer in mindset to vegans or vegetarians as you may think. Definitely closer than people who work in the larger farms and more of the commodity farms. We're about the sustainability of the land, the animal welfare, and the utilization of the whole product here. We don't like the idea of any sort of waste. If an animal has been sacrificed for the table, we want to make sure that we use as much of it as we possibly can. We also have a lot of people who are still vegetarian but shop here for their pets, because another part of utilizing everything is to we take a lot of the organs that we get and we will dehydrate them for pet treats. We do a raw pet food mix. We utilize the bones for dog bones or dog treats as well. So there's a lot of offerings here for people even if they don't eat the meat themselves.
You can fire up the bandsaw.
Are you hungry enough to eat a pastrami sandwich?
Yes.
Yep.
Always.
I could split one of those. And also we have something unique that we make here. It's our capicola. It's or gabagool.
You mean gabagool?
Gabagool. Over here.
Gabagool. Yeah. It's not a traditional one in that it's fully cured for several weeks. It is partially cured and then slow roasted. It has all these the fantastic flavors you would expect from like a traditional gabagool, and nice. It's one of our more popular deli meats here.
I would love to try it. Where are these being smoked or whatever?
Yeah, everything is smoked here in our shop. I can take you guys on a little tour here if you want to see.
It's a small shop, so you're doing a lot of stuff in this pretty tiny area.
Yeah, people walk in here and you immediately are hit by the aromas of usually of smoke and of something cooking. You know, we have boys say that we should talk to the Yankee Candle people to have our own branded candle made out of the aroma here in the shop.
That one I might actually burn.
Yeah, I mean, you could just do it here. You have tallow.
That's true. We do have the tallow. We do sell, actually, a tallow candle as well. Yeah. You know, tallow bombs made from our fat as well.
You also have a Girl Scout cookie set up here. You've sold how many Girl Scout cookies out of the door of Sutter Meats?
Oh, over, what, 500 and...
512 boxes we've ordered.
Susan, you're one of the co-owners. Yeah.
Yes.
And is that, like, somebody you know's Girl Scout cookie set up there?
That's our daughter, Langley, who's eight.
She's going to be, like, top Girl Scout in the truth.
I feel like we should mention that in the time that we've been talking, since the pig came out, it is basically done.
And all to the soundtrack of Aretha Franklin, which has been amazing. All meat should be butchered to Aretha Franklin. She sanctifies and blesses it. Now we're going in the back, and so here's where a lot of the ovens and smokers and things are. Yeah, nice.
This is our capicola, or gabagool.
Let's get back to that gabagool.
That's made with the collar of the pig. That's the top of the pork shoulder. So dig into that, as you'll see, it has quite like flavors of fennel, a little bit of red pepper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so nicely spiced. Mm-hmm. That's the real deal.
Yeah, it all starts with the good quality pork too, with Tyler's pigs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are pigs that have been raised outdoors their entire life. He's up on a hillside in Burniston, just overlooking the Kringle Candle place, and then...
Maybe they'll make your candle.
Maybe we should talk to them about that, yeah. Yeah.
Store full of tallow!
Yeah, it's a beautiful location. You know, I would actually like to live there. You know, looking out into Leiden, you know, you can see out to Shelburne. So on top of that, that's your appetizer. And then now we have... this is pastrami, which is made from... the breast or navel of the cow, brined in, say, like a pickling solution that we make here, similar to like what you do with corned beef. And then it's smoked here in-house. And then we chop it up to put on the sandwich. It's mixed with some caramelized onions we made here, a little bit of sauerkraut, our house-made horseradish mayonnaise, and melted Swiss. And it's all on a fantastic bread that's made from a small bakery out in Florence called Little Bear Bread. He made this just for us. This is a rye ciabatta.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The horseradish.
That is good stuff. And if you fall out at the beginning, and I could just see the fat and how glistening the pastrami is. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's so good.
We do have a lot of people who shop here from the New York area. I always get excited when I get a phone call from somebody and I can see there's a 212 number or 917. You know, like, all right, this person, they know what they're talking about. So then they always come in. It seems like the people from New York always come in and they go straight for the deli case and ask for the pastrami. So far, nobody has been disappointed with it. You see it in their eyes when they take that bite. Like, okay, I'm back in New York.
Amazing. That was super delicious.
Oh my God, yours is gone.
You enjoyed that?
I had a light breakfast.
So what's the best way for people to know what classes are going on, what sandwiches is happening?
Yeah, so the best way is to sign up for our newsletter. You know, there's something new that we're actually working on now that's like a butcher's box, like a monthly club, where you can get a curated box of different cuts with some other local items and some prepared items that you can get once a month here. And with that, you also get discounts in the store, access to members-only classes, bunch of different things there, and all that information is on our newsletter.
Well, it's been a cut that has gained popularity the more that people have found out about it.
Oh yeah, with pork, there's the fresh version of this capicola. We call it just a copa steak or a capicola steak. In fact, I have somebody coming in tomorrow for 10 of them. So my wife and I, we were in Italy for our honeymoon, but we started in Ischia. We have some of our best friends are from there. They still have a family home there. So we went to stay with them. They took us up to the local butcher, and I asked the guy, like, what his favorite cut was. And he said, like, without hesitating, capicola.
Oh, this from a slice of gabagool?
I was like, well, no. Like, I mean, like, a fresh cut, because I only knew of it as the gabagool is, like, the cured item. He's like, no, let me show you. So he brought out the pork shoulder, cut a couple of fresh steaks off of the copa, gave them to us and said, go back to your friend's house, get a fire going, moderate heat, salt these, and then put them on there. I'm going to cook them for 13 minutes, flipping every minute, and then finish off with a squeeze of lemon. Like, 13 minutes is like two sides, so one side is going to get six, one side. He's like, trust me, just do it. So it's like, so we went back to his house, got our fire going, salted up the capicolas, flipped them every minute, finished them with a little bit of lemon, took a bite, and I don't know, it's like looking over the Mediterranean, like something like that, but knees were buckling, like this is the most amazing thing ever. But now for the last 12 years, I've been chasing the Copa Dragon, trying to get that same feeling again. And I tell that to people in the class, and we sell out of Copas like right after.
Thanks again to Terry at Sutter Meats in Northampton.